Welcome to The Bonfire, and this is Season 7. If you missed the past seasons, you can go back, check out those episodes. Each season has a different theme. And for this season, we're going through the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, focusing on 7 different letters. And these are letters, it's really words from Jesus to the different churches, historical churches, but a message not only for then, but also for today. Each of these churches, they have things that are going well, and then they have some real struggles. Jesus commends, and he also rebukes. Now, we're in the 5th church, and it's chapter 3. It's the church in Sardis. And for the bonfire, we love to gather, go deep in God's word, and then we love to apply it to our lives. We want to live this out. That's where the fire is. Theology on fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit. We don't just want to have knowledge, although the word of God is exactly what our minds need to be renewed. But it doesn't stop with our minds. It's also our souls, our hearts, our hands. And we live this out together. We abide with Jesus and bear much fruit. And as we dive into God's word, the fire grows. We've been having some fires in our backyard, inviting friends over. And it's so fun to have a fire and the hot dogs, the hamburgers, also s'mores. I mean, all the good things associated with a fire. Well, God is love, God is light, God is a consuming fire. And also, Jesus said you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit in fire. Think of fire as passion. Think of fire as love and warmth. And God is building a greater fire in our souls and wants us to unite because embers fade, but together the fire grows. As we think about Sardis, there's not much fire. They need a bonfire in Sardis. And this is to the church in Sardis. These, again, are 7 local churches trying to figure out how to live for Christ. And it's countercultural. There's challenges in the world that they're trying to navigate, and there's similar challenges that we're trying to figure out as we walk with God. Sardis was a city that was prosperous. It was a commercial city. They had textiles. They had dyes. There was a lot of travel through that city, people coming through, and a lot of profit. At the same time, historians also say that for the city of Sardis, there's the old part of the city in the mountains, and then there was the newer part of the city in the valley. So the city was expanding. Maybe you live in a city that's growing. It's prosperous. Businesses are doing well. New homes are being built. I live in Seattle, and Seattle and Austin, for many years, have been the fastest growing cities in America, popular places. There's cranes everywhere. So a sense of excitement in Sardis amongst those who are in business, and yet spiritually, the city was struggling, the church was struggling. We're going to hear about that. As we read in Revelation chapter 3, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. Messages from Jesus and also the Holy Spirit. Reading about the 7 spirits, the fullness of the Spirit is the symbolism there. And we want the fullness of the Father, the fullness of the Son, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, worshiping the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the full relationship with God, one God, 3 persons. And there's always alignment between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Within the Trinity, there's perfect unity and community. And when we read the Word of God, Scripture, we know the Holy Spirit is the ultimate author, writing through different people. The book of Revelation, it's the Apostle John. It's the final book. John is on the island of Patmos. He is the only of the apostles who wasn't killed for his faith. And he's writing this down. It's a message from God to the church. And here is the commending. The rebuking is going to be much more for the church in Sardis. But here's the commending. And it's kind of one of those halfway compliments. It's actually not much of a compliment. So even in trying to find something good about the church in Sardis, it's hard to find. Listen to the compliment. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive. That's the compliment. You have some good deeds that are happening there. You've got a remnant. You've got some people doing some good things. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. That's what Jesus says. It's like, yeah, you got a great reputation. You've done a few deeds. Your reputation's much bigger than what you've actually done. Have you ever heard about, let's say, a story or an experience or a person, and then you get there and you're thinking, boy, didn't quite live up to the hype. Big legend, Is that all there is? I remember traveling through Montana, and it was a road trip with my grandmother and my aunt. We were on our way from Minnesota to British Columbia, and the hype was world's largest restaurant. And my grandmother knew what this was. She had a sense of humor, and she was talking it up for days. World's largest restaurant. And I was, you know, traveling through this long state of Montana thinking, how big is this restaurant going to be? And then when we arrived at the restaurant, I looked and it was so small. And the headline over the restaurant was, world's biggest restaurant, we seat 8 people at a time. It was a really small little trailer practically. And it was a great restaurant, but 8 people at a time. So they had a sense of humor. All the hype in my mind, it didn't live up to it. And that's kind of the church at Sardis. Maybe you've heard about some event that's happening and it's like, wow, all this is going on. And then you show up and you're like, this is all it is. And Sardis had a reputation for being alive, but didn't live up to it. Some churches have a reputation. Oh, that's a pillar of the community. Some denominations, some Bible colleges, some seminaries. They might have an incredible reputation around the world. And then when you actually show up, it's like, oh, this is all that's happening here. And for Sardis, their reputation was great, but they're dead. Some people have a reputation of being really spiritual. But if you actually walked with them during an entire 24 hours, you would see that the reputation is much bigger than the reality. Let's never let that be the case in our lives, that our reputation about being so spiritual, about, you know, walking so close with God, far exceeds the reality. And that's easy to do in ministry. It's easy to inflate numbers, round up, embellish stories. All of us want a good reputation. All of us want to look spiritual. All of us, when people are watching, have a tendency to serve more, work harder, have more integrity. But what happens when no one's watching? What happens when there's no rewards? What are your motives? What's your character, your closeness with God? And it's easy, I'll say, for me as a pastor, and any pastor, being up front, and that's part of your job. You know how to step into different situations and from up front, you know, present a certain way. Well, what's happening behind the scenes? Are you the same person up front as behind the scenes? And that's a challenge for all of us, but that's integrity. Integrity is oneness. It's not a double life. It's not duplicity, that root word oneness. So abide with Jesus, bear much fruit, and it's okay if your reputation is even smaller. It's okay if not everyone knows about you, but you are faithful. What's important is you are faithful. And the church at Sardis had a reputation for being faithful, but the reality was much less than that. And that's the compliment part for the church at Sardis. You are dead. You never want to hear that from Jesus. You're actually kind of dead right now. When it comes to your spiritual vibrancy, when it comes to serving, when it comes to sharing your faith, when it comes to, you know, seeking God, you're kind of just going through the motions. When it comes to going to church, like, yeah, you're hit and miss. You're not that committed. When it comes to the environment in your house, yeah, things are kind of dead spiritually at our home. We don't do a lot. There's just not a lot there. We don't want to hear from Jesus. Actually, you're kind of dead. You're lukewarm. You're going through the motions. You're not that alive. That's what he says to the church at Sardis. But why does he say that? Because it's a wake-up call. Because he knows their potential. Because Jesus comes to bring us abundant life. If you're feeling kind of dead, don't just go into guilt and shame. Don't go into try-hard mode. Instead, draw close to Jesus. Jesus is the source of life. Jesus wants to give us abundant life. We don't have to stay in that lukewarm mode, sleepy mode. We don't have to stay there. And that's why Jesus communicates it, because he knows what the church can be. He wants the church to be all she's designed to be. And he's passionate about that. If you ever know someone has potential and they're coming way short of that potential, sometimes what they need is an honest rebuke. Sometimes what they need is you look them in the eyes. I remember we had a captain on our team in college in soccer, and he had a talent for those straightforward conversations where if someone wasn't putting in the effort and no one else really wanted to talk to that guy, our captain would go over there one-on-one, respectful, and just give them that eye-to-eye talk. Like, here we go. Like, we're working harder. We're going for this. You got more. I know you do. That kind of talk. And it would result in someone scoring goals. It would result in a change of performance. That's what a captain does. Jesus is the head of the church, and he knows all the local churches. He knows all his people. He knows everything about us. And he knows when to look us in the eye and tell us, you've got more. Rely on me. I've got more for you. And that's what he's saying to the church at Sardis. And in two words, he says, wake up. Wake up. Now, there's a whole movement about being woke in our culture. That's not at all what Jesus is talking about here. When he says, wake up, this is spiritually wake up. Be alert, be aware, be filled again with God's word, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. There's still a little bit of strength. There's still a little bit. Build on your islands of strength. There's a few things going well. Wake up before it all falls apart. If you've watched something decline, and that's hard. I mean, well, it could be, you know, your investment with your retirement. It could be your job performance. It could be, you know, academically. It could be your athletic career. It could be, you know, so many different things, your discipline in reading scripture. When something is really declining, you've got to say, wake up, look at the reality, and let's go in a new direction. Wake up. How do you wake up spiritually? And sometimes it could be that you've fallen into a sin and someone rebukes you and you wake up. Sometimes you have a friend that is living out their faith in a way that's inspiring and you kind of wake up. For me, sometimes I look overseas and I see the persecution and I see the realities. I see the dedication and the devotion and the sacrifice of people following Jesus. I see people living out their faith right now and they're being killed in that region, but the followers of Jesus refuse to move. And when I hear about that passion and dedication, it challenges me. It's like, what am I doing? Am I getting caught up in petty things, distractions? Am I drifting into just worldly stuff? And I'll tell you, in America, it's so easy to fall asleep spiritually. Why? Because we have a lot of prosperity and we don't have much persecution. And when you combine a lot of prosperity and not much persecution, one of the greatest battles for a follower of Jesus is to stay on fire for the Lord. Why? Because there's prosperity. We've got so much entertainment. I mean, you pick up a remote control and there's over 100 channels that you can just go through. Everything is covered now, everything. Then you pick up your phone and you got social media. How many shorts are coming your direction? And so you go from one screen to the next and to the next. That's just digital screens and people are over 7 hours a day. You know, that's just, but everything we have, you want to pick up movies. We've got all the movie theaters. You know, you can go to a movie. Restaurants, we got all the restaurants. Food, we got all the food. I know sometimes we complain about our country and we should be thanking God for how patient and how generous he has been, how gracious he has been to our nation. Enjoy the blessings. I'm not saying retreat from the world and find a monastery. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's sin to live in America. I'm not saying it's sin to have these blessings. I'm not saying any of that. Money is a blessing. You can do incredible things to build up God's kingdom and see people's lives changed. All these things. What's hard is to manage it in a way that it doesn't take away your heart and your passion and your time. And now with your faith, it's just kind of like compartmentalized. Oh yeah, I have one Bible study. I give a little bit and I go to church. And that's my faith. It's compartmentalized. So what do you do with that? Managing the entertainment world, managing the prosperity, not having persecution. When there's not persecution, you can just kind of go through the faith and you do a little bit. When there's persecution, you have to decide. Like, okay, I'm either going to keep sharing my faith and die, or I'm going to be a hidden Christian and try to deny my faith. Like, I'm either going to make the right decision and be thrown in jail or beaten, or I'm not. I'm either going to open up my home for a house church and risk the government coming in. So those kind of decisions are on a whole different level. I'm just saying what I'm seeing in America is that we're either going to wake up, the sleeping giant of the local churches are going to wake up and unite and be bold, be the most hope-filled places in America, lead cities to Jesus. We're going to have our homes vibrant. We're either going to wake up or there's going to be this decline where it's just going off the cliff. And that's why, you know, when you think about these different churches, this one resonates with me with those two words, Jesus saying, wake up, strengthen what remains. I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. In other words, you're not faithful right now. You're not obedient. You're not doing what I told you in the Word. There's a big difference between cultural Christianity and biblical Christianity. There's a huge gap right now. So Jesus is saying, come back to what I've called you to do. And you say, how do you wake up? Jesus lays it up very clear. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. Remember and repent. Remember who God is. Remember how he's gifted you. Remember what God has done. Open up the pages of Scripture. Remember in your life, your testimony. Remember God's provision. Remember how he's answered your prayers when you've cried out to God. Remember his goodness. That's what Nehemiah would say as they were restoring the city and rebuilding the wall. He would say, remember your God. When the battle was fierce, remember your God. Fight for your friends. Fight for your family. Fight for your city. Keep going in this. So remember, so your mind is filled with the goodness of God. I say it this way. The storm came. The disciples are in the boat, and they're either going to focus on the storm or the Savior. When they focus on the storm, they get anxious. They're worried. Jesus is taking a nap. They're even trying to rebuke Jesus, like, don't you care? You're taking a nap in the storm. And Jesus, the Savior, is greater than the storm. Okay, you might see a lot going on and you might start getting worried, like there's wars and there's rumors of wars and there's political tension, there's division, and the church is in decline statistically like we've never seen before in America and all these things. And it's like, okay, there's a storm going on right now. But remember the Savior. He has a non-anxious presence. And if you put your trust in Jesus, he's going to give you hope. He's going to give you direction. He's greater than the storm. Remember the Lord and repent. Get rid of any junk. There are things you can't carry. There are things you can't bring with you. And do you realize that when Joshua was going to go into the promised land, God said, consecrate yourself. In other words, get rid of the junk. Be set apart. I have a holy purpose for you. You're not just getting rid of it just to get rid of it. You're getting rid of it to bring him glory and to be ready to go where he wants to take you. So for the church in Sardis, remember and repent. You're going to reaffirm your belief, your commitment. You're going to rededicate yourself, and then you're going to wake up. And that's how things change spiritually. He says, if you don't wake up, I'm going to come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. This is not Jesus' second coming. In his second coming, he's going to come like a thief. What does it mean to come like a thief? Unannounced, unplanned. Thieves don't say, I'm thinking about showing up at your house. It'll be in 8 days, probably between 10 and 10:30 at night. You're like, oh, okay, noted. Thief's coming. Well, let's make sure the alarm's on. Let's make sure we hide our valuables. Thieves don't come like that. Jesus is going to come in a second, and we're not going to know. No one's going to know the day. When you talk about Jesus' return, no one knows the day, but he's going to come like a thief in the night. And here, he uses the same metaphor. I'm going to come like a thief. Some people think they can just keep sinning and there won't be consequences. And if they get caught, they'll smooth talk their way out of it. If they get caught, they'll, you know, be able to dodge the prison sentence. If they get caught, they'll just be mercy and nothing's going to happen. Well, God is patient. God is gracious. But if you keep sinning and you keep sinning, like, what's going to happen? There's going to be a time where God rebukes you and God brings consequences, and maybe you don't like the consequences, but God is saying the bridge is out. You can't keep destroying or hurting the lives of other people. You can't be dishonoring God. Your purpose is to glorify him. And God says enough is enough. So that's the message to Sardis, is that you can't just keep going this way. and then you're not going to be held accountable? No, that's not how it's going to work. Jesus is straightforward. And here's some encouragement, because right now maybe you're listening to this and thinking, well, where's some encouragement for Sardis? And we need some encouragement. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me. There's some people who are faithful. And you see this almost in every church. You see this in every ministry. You see this in different cities. There's some people who are faithful. Be one of the faithful people. Jesus says, dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life. What is the book of life? That's God's record of who are his people. Your name is written down in the book of life. You're born again. You're in God's family. No one can snatch you from his hand. And we'll acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. And the final word is, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Some people are going to read Revelation chapter 3, and they're going to think it's only historical for Sardis. It is primary for Sardis, but it's also relevant for us today. It's a timely word. Some people are going to read it and just try to box it in the past. No, it's a message for today as well. Some people are going to read it, and they're going to get the knowledge. Like, oh yeah, let's see. If I want to wake up, I should remember God and repent. Got it. Got the concept. Got the truth. Well, did you actually remember? For a lot of people, they'll read this and nothing changes in their life. Their thought life, same as it was yesterday, same as it was 7 days ago. Do you intentionally remember? Do you meditate on God's word? Do you memorize God's word? Do you celebrate what God has done? Do you think about God during the day? What are you remembering? When we take communion, we remember Christ. We remember that he died for our sins. We remember his resurrection. When you're going through a really hard time, do you remember his hope? Do you remember his power? Do you remember to rely on the Holy Spirit? Do you remember that we're on this side of Pentecost? The Spirit has been given. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, be filled. Do you remember that? Or do you just conform to the pattern of the world and go back to some negative thought patterns and being way too hard on yourself, down on yourself, feeling despair, forgetting God's faithfulness, forgetting his promises, forgetting his word? Remember, every time you take communion, remember. And God gives us rituals like communion to help us remember. We love to celebrate when someone's baptized at our church. And when someone's baptized, we hear their testimony. We remember how God has worked in our lives. We remember Jesus is risen. We remember his calling to go public through testimony of baptism. We remember. So remember and then repent. Turn from your sin. If you just keep going back to the same old sin, the Bible says it's like a dog returning to the vomit. Just keep returning to the same foolish sin. Break free in the power of Jesus. Get some accountability and have a group of people who are like that remnant who want to run with the Lord. Who are the three people closest to you right now? You tell me, who are those three? And what does their relationship with God look like? Do they inspire you? Do they challenge you? Do they rebuke you? Do they bring out the best in you? Are you together trying to think through how we can build up God's kingdom, how we can grow personally? Do they help you with the spiritual disciplines? Like, what's happening with those three people? You might be settling for relationships that have nothing to do with the Lord. You might be settling for relationships with Christians, but there's no spiritual growth, and it's just plateau. And God's saying here, wake up. Think about who you're spending time with. Repent from the sins. Invite some people in your life. Sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron. This thing can turn around, but you got to build on those islands of strength. Recognize what's good right now. Build on that. And then as you think through your life and ministry, where is God moving? Where is God moving? What is God blessing? Invest your time and energy in that. I don't know what ministry you're involved in. I don't know what your passion is. I don't know what your gifts are. But find out where God is moving in those spaces. You know, find a mentor. Grow. If you've been doing something at a level 7, 1 through 10, start thinking through, how do I get it to an 8? Where do I grow? How do I develop? What's going to be effective? Maybe what worked in 2020, it's not working now. So what's different? How has the technology changed? How has the culture changed? How are people learning more about God? You know, the church is called to go to people where they are, connect with them, serve them. What are they watching? What are they listening to? Are you sharp on it or is it just kind of dull? Are you coasting? There's a lot of people, even pastors, who are like, well, we did it 10 years ago. We've always done it. Is it working? Not that great anymore, but this is what we've always done. So we're just going to keep doing this. No, it's pivots. This culture changes so much quicker than it ever has before. And if you're not motivated to reach them, you're going to end up outdated. What worked 2 years ago doesn't work now. So you got to stay sharp. You got to be a light. And Sardis has lost their light. They have a reputation of being outstanding spiritually. But that's not the reality, because in their heart, they still need to repent. In their minds, they need to remember. And then as they do that, repent and remember, now they're recommitted. Now they're shining the light. Now they can reach a city that desperately needs them. It's a city known as really the center of pagan worship. There's temples there, worshiping false gods. There's all kinds of immorality. Church in Sardis, wake up, reach Sardis, reach beyond Sardis. I pray for your church, and I pray that you have a church. What's cool now is to not have a local church. God's plan is local churches. That's what we're talking about, 7 local churches. Jesus' passion for the local church. Find a local church. Serve in that local church. And I pray for your local church that you be faithful, you be alive, not dead. You wouldn't just go through the motions. You would have a community of people that are on fire for Jesus, and don't settle for less. Find that place, find that church, and then together do what Jesus says here, which is wake up, wake up. May the churches across America wake up. May in our homes, may we wake up, and in our hearts, wake up. Don't be duped. Don't be, you know, like a lullaby at night with our kids as they were getting ready for go to bed. You know, you just want them warm, comfortable, sing to them, and they fall asleep. As a parent, that's great, because now we can get some sleep. That works as far as a young child or an infant. But what the devil's approach is, oh, make sure the church is comfortable. They're thinking about themselves. They are imitating the patterns of the world. And they are falling asleep and blending in. And the world is influencing the church far more than the church is influencing the world. And Jesus steps up into that nonsense and says, wake up, church. Get up. Remember your call. Remember your purpose. Repent from sins. It's time to shine the light again. So Jesus loves the church in Sardis. He loves us. And that's why he says, wake up. If he didn't care, he wouldn't say it. But because he sees so much potential, and because he knows he offers abundant life, and because there's victory over the enemy's traps, he says, wake up with great hope. Wake up with urgency. And let's give God the glory together. Thanks for listening to The Bonfire today. Again, this is Revelation chapter 3. We love to dive into God's word. If you enjoyed this, you want to encourage someone, share this with someone else, and let's keep growing in our faith together, abiding with Jesus and the fire of the Holy Spirit.